So let's start with a prayer. And I'm going to pray an adaptation of Psalm 19, where it says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen."
Amen.
So we're looking at this passage in Matthew, where Jesus calms the storm. The actual event is recorded in three of the Gospels, not in the Gospel of John, but in the other Gospels. And I did look quite closely at the Gospel of Mark as well as Matthew. And so the Sea of Galilee, has anybody been to the Sea of Galilee? Yeah, it's the most amazing place. It's an unusual body of water, relatively small. It's 14 miles long and 6 miles wide. And then I go into metres. I bought this from the internet. 46 metres deep, and the shoreline is 207 metres below sea level. And it's surrounded by mountains. And so storms whip up very quickly and very easily. It can stir up the waters of the Sea of Galilee and have waves that are very big, let's put it that way. So the disciples, some of them obviously experienced seafarers, had been caught out without warning. And in the Gospel of Mark, it says that other boats were with them as well. So many of us, in fact, probably all of us here, because we're all of a certain age, have experienced storms in life and those sudden circumstances that paralyze us, overwhelm us and disempower us. And sometimes we feel when we're going through those storms that Jesus is asleep. We need to wake him up and ask him, "Lord, don't you care that I'm drowning in this storm of life?" And as we look at the passage in Matthew, verse 23, it said that the disciples followed Jesus. They followed him into the boat, so they followed him into the storm. When we follow Jesus, we are equipping ourselves for the storm. We don't know what is around the corner, do we? That knock at the door with the police at the door. That devastating phone call from a family or friend, the life-threatening diagnosis, and so on, all our storms that are thrown at us through life. Life storms tend to reveal where our fears are based and where our faith is placed. In a storm, our first reaction is very often fear, isn't it? It's the fear of the unknown. But when we navigate our storms by faith, we find ourselves more anchored and more assured as we face the tempest. Faith that can help us to walk in peace and his grace and his strength and persevere with him throughout all the circumstances. Now in the Gospel of Mark of this account, it says that during the storm, Jesus is asleep in the stern, sleeping with his head on a cushion. And when I read the Bible, I think, why did they mention the cushion? What is the cushion all about? So I delved around a bit. And the cushion obviously probably would have been there when they had different watches in the night, when they went fishing and then maybe somebody was sleeping. But for Jesus, I think the fact that he was soundly asleep, it shows his humanity, the fact that he just delivered the Sermon on the Mount and he'd been healing people and teaching people and probably, yeah, he was performing miracles. He must have been exhausted. So A, he was showing his humanity by showing how exhausted he was, and also he was able to rest peacefully in the knowledge that his Father was with him and holding him. Now, as we journey through storms of life, let us look at the cushions, in inverted commas, that Jesus is holding out to us. Those cushions could be the form of loving friends and family in difficult circumstances, material provision, helping with meals or lifts and things like that. In fact, there are countless blessings offered to us by the grace of God to cushion the blow of our trials. And the best cushion of all, of course, is Jesus himself. Through reading the word of God and reflecting on it, asking him, "What does this mean for me today, Lord? for praying and spending time with him, waiting for him to respond to our questions. And as we look very briefly at Psalm 27, was written when David was being hounded by his enemies. And he knew that the best place to be was in the presence of God. And for us, that place, best place is in the presence of God. It says in the Psalms, better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. And as we receive all that he offers us in the midst of the storms, joy can rise, joy rises. Peace that passes all understanding. We don't understand how it is, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit through us. We can be joyful in all circumstances, as Paul talks about in Philippians 4. And as we rest securely with him and lean into his comfort, peace floods in. And in Mark 4, we hear the words of Jesus saying to the storm, "Quiet, be still." And he is able to quieten our souls in the midst of the storm. We can say that and I did it this week in a situation that's been very awful. We've lost a 10-year-old boy to cancer who's been fighting for 6 years, and he died this week. And so my mind was like a storm. So I said, quiet, be still in the name of Jesus. But that storm did not disappear, but he brings us peace within that storm. In the passage, I sense I sense Jesus' frustration when he says, "Oh, you of little faith." And it always makes me cringe, this, because I always wonder if he'd say that to me when I'm in the midst of a storm. They had been following him for some time and living with him and ministering with him, witnessing his miracles, and they had that close connection with God, and they had fear creeping up in them as the storm rose. But fear is not from God, it's from the enemy, it's from Satan. So that's why Jesus was saying, "Quiet, be still." I find it challenging. Sorry, I've said that bit. And I think when the disciples were crying out to Jesus, that means when they said, "Lord, help me," in fact, I think Jesus loves it, and God loves it when we call out to him, "Lord, help me," because it means that we are relying on him rather than trying to fix things ourselves. And we are trying to find solace from the world. The world where maybe we have the extra drink or the extra donut if we're addicted to food when things go wrong, or clicking on a wrong website on the internet, and so on, whatever it is that we go to when we find life difficult. We are asking Jesus to be in the midst of our storms and to calm our minds, our souls, in the midst of those times. In the passage in Colossians, it says that Jesus himself is before all things, having been created through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. He holds all things together. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, it doesn't look like it, but that is what it says in the Word of God. So, does anybody know the name Horatio Spafford? No? Well, yes. Yes, exactly. Well done, Tom. Look, great. So Horatio Spafford wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," and it's one of my favourite hymns. He was a successful lawyer in the States and invested heavily in property because he was so successful. A lot of the property was extensively damaged in the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. And so to sort out his affairs, he sent his wife and four daughters over to England for a holiday. And whilst he attended to his broken business in the USA, the steamship that his family were on a collision, and Spafford lost his four daughters and received a telegram from his wife saying, "Saved alone." Immediately he set off to be united with his grieving wife. And as the ship passed over near to where his four daughters died, He wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows of like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford was calling on Jesus to be his cushion, in inverted commas. And because of that, even though he was going through the probably the most agonizing of life's trials and life's storms, he could honestly say, because of Jesus, it is well with my soul. So in our storms of life, as he has was for the disciples in the boat, he is, where is he? He's right in the midst of the storm with us. Let us pray.